are here for the panel on Georgia's voting system woes and ongoing voting system woes. These are my favorite kinds of panels because less than 2 weeks ago, we just got a 150-page order on this issue, entering an injunction against using the voting machines that are replaced. You won't be so happy with the news about what they're replacing it with, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Step one.
At least we got one down. So I guess we'll go ahead and have the other panelists introduce themselves. Okay. Whichever word you want to go.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Haley Tsvay. I'm a legislative activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I focus mostly on state legislation, and I get to work a lot with the folks at the City of Georgia who do amazing work here for your state.
I'm Keith Watson. I'm at Georgia Tech over 30 years. I'm the Information Security Manager for the College of Computing. I'm a GX Certified Security Incident Handler. I sponsor Grey Hat, the Security Information Student Organization, and Mad Hatters, which is their cyber CTF team. I host the DEF CON group here in Atlanta. That's a local chapter of DEF CON, DC 404. We have meetings third Wednesday of every month. I'm a member of 2600, which is first Friday of every month in the Linux Food Court. I'm a member of Electronic Frontiers Georgia. I'm their go-to guy for technical analysis on bills. I'm co-developer of Network King of the Hill CTF system and host two monthly CTFs every month. So come on by and join in on the CTFs.
Okay, well, so, you prepared slide. I might as well just let you go through the slide.
Okay.
Have you been moderating any questions?
Well, here's what I think is going to happen is this is going to pre-answer a bunch of questions and also kind of get everybody on the same footing of enragement. So let's start here. Started in the 21st Century Voting Commission. In December 2001, the governor created a group to come up with the next voting system from what they had, which was a very big hodgepodge of stuff. And they came up with a contract for what are called direct recording electronic systems. That's the one that the injunction's against, at a cost of $54 million. The system had an option for printed receipts.
Yeah.
They did not opt for that option. Many people worked on getting Georgia to add it. I was one of those people. I apologize. The reason is, we found out later, I did not know this at the time, but through education and engineering, we discovered that the printers are a Jedi mind trick. We'll get to that. Now, in 2018, they said, we got to replace this with something. That was in April. The SAFE Commission, former Secretary of State Bill Kemp, founded it for the purposes of coming up with the next generation of electronics of the system. But they were going to look at all systems fairly. That's what they said. So one of the things they did is out of the 18 members, they had one person on it that was a security expert in their field. That's Dr. Wanky Lee. I actually know him and worked with him at Georgia Institute of Technology. He's a professor, John Imlay Chair in the School of Computer Science, College of Computing, co-executive director of the Institute for Information Security and Privacy. Seven vendors submitted bids. One was selected. We'll get to that. Georgia Secretary of State's office did a Conyers pilot using the ballot marking device system that was eventually chosen. They did this in February 1, 2018. They produced a voter verified ballot. The paper ballot, by the way, that it prints is not the vote of record. It counts for nothing. The text is not machine readable. They sometimes or can include barcodes so that they can go back and scan them. Did I mention that it's thermal paper?
Yeah.
One hot car away from all the votes around. Okay. BMD manufacturers claim that the voter verified ballot makes it possible to do a risk limiting audit. Remember that, it is a key point. Wanky Lee published a paper called Cybersecurity Considerations for Voting Systems as part of his role with the commission. He presented it to the SAFE Commission. It had zero effect. It is included in their final report in the appendix. He then, based on their reaction to that and questions they had, produced another paper. This one was called Basic Security Requirements for a Voting System, presented to him October 2018 to the SAFE Commission, and strongly reiterated his main points and really strongly fomented for a hand-marked paper ballot system. They, in addition to that, another paper that was presented to the SAFE Commission, which, by the way, was not included in the final report, was a study done by Georgia Tech. And with by Rick, Dr. DeMillo and Dr. Cadle and Marilyn Marsh from a coalition of good governments who's very helpful for us when we were fighting HB 316. They sent the paper to the commission. It was not included. This is kind of detailed, so I'll go through it. It's critical. Paper handmarked by a voter in the form of a ballot is the medium preferred by most experts for recording voter intent, despite a nearly 20-year campaign by the voting system industry to promote an all-electronic pathway, from capturing a digital record of voter intent to tallying and recording electronic results, or election results. That's a quote from the paper. In the paper, they quote a 2018 report from National Academy of Science. A paper-based voting system makes the paper ballot the official ballot of record of the voters' expressed intentions. Other representations, examples such as an electronic representation produced by a scanner, are derivative and are not voter verifiable. The paper includes the results of two studies of the use of BMD, ballot marking devices, which is what they are going to now. Voting systems. Study one, do voters review their ballot summary cards? Do they review them? Study two was, can voters verify their ballot summary cards if they choose to review them? Study one, the ballots each contained 18 contests. 52.9% of voters reviewed their voting summary. 47.1% of voters did not review the voting summary. The average time spent was 3.9 seconds. The longest time spent was 19. Now, I'm going to show you what they were actually reviewing. And we'll ask you if you can do it in 19 seconds. I thought I was in great directory. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. Well, that is the system we have, DRE marking system. Okay. This is what it recorded your votes on. Want me to go back one?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, if anybody wants any of this information, I can get it to you.
Yeah, it's, okay, it's here we just go. Pictures where it's
happy. Yeah, so that's what we're using now. It records your vote on this. You don't know what it actually recorded on there. You don't know what was pulled off of there. You don't know what happened to it in transit, et cetera, et cetera. This is a sample, This is a ballot from the last presidential election. If I go over here, you can see it's quite lengthy and has some bills and attachments, and not bills, but what do you call them?
Amendments,
yeah, on there. This is the output of a BMD device. Now, when you do the voting on the electronic screen, how many of you actually take a printed out sample ballot with you, marked with your choices?
League of Women Voters.
There's only a few. For those at home, there's about a dozen people raise their hand out of the whole room. The format on the screen is very similar, but not exactly the same as what's on the sample ballot, but close enough that it's very quick, within a few minutes, to go through and verify. This is an abbreviated summary of what you chose. It's not the entire ballot. So now, all that memory, a spatial memory you used to memorize the ballot, is no longer valid. Okay, remember that when you get to see what happens when they actually tested how people did against them. So let's go back to here. So, study two. Two sample ballots were printed for each party, the first showing the correct races and candidates, the second showing certain errors. 68% of respondents stated they voted in a Republican primary. They had two primaries. 32% stated they voted in the Democratic primary. This is a test ballot, by the way. It's not an actual election. 60.2% of the sample ballots reviewed were the correct ballot, 39.8% were the incorrect ballot. They actually put errors in them. No, this is a test. This
was
these were the actual number of mismatches, right? Now, out of the 103 people who were at part of this study, 74.5% stated the ballot they reviewed as the correct ballot. 25.5% stated that the ballot they reviewed was the incorrect ballot. You can have a false positive or a false negative. of the 98 respondents who gave definitive answers, 59 out of the group, of them, 81, 86.4% correctly identified the correct ballot, while 13.6% misidentified the correct ballot as incorrect. Most of them recognized the correct ballot. Well, what did they do when it was an incorrect ballot? That's the question. 39 respondents were shown the incorrect ballot, and 17, 43.6% correctly identified their ballot was incorrect. 22, 56% were not able to detect a bad ballot. So when you couple the fact that most people spend a grand, when given the opportunity, spend the grand total of 4 seconds reviewing a ballot, and when they do, more than half can't find an error, you have a bit of a problem. The paper goes into the technical reasons why relying on voters, and goes into psychology and some other things. By the way, all of this material is available online, free. You can go get it. If you get my card and send me an email, I'll send you links. Why relying on voters verifying a vote summary is a fool's errand. What voters are asked to verify is the question. In a headlong rush to develop new voting technologies, designers may be sidestepping critical questions whose answers affect the safety of election systems. Reducing the readability of ballot summary cards does not increase one's ability to verify. Ballot summary verification is likely to be error-prone, and many popular ballot marking devices compound this problem by attaching marks and codes that are not readable with reasonable effort by ordinary voters. They mean barcodes. The result is a source document that is not a reliable document for post-election audits. If they don't have barcodes, they're not machine readable. Okay? As a result of them seeing this information and the reaction of the SAFE Commission to headlong rush toward ballot marking devices, he reiterated with another paper and said, hey, please reconsider this, and strongly advocated, once again, with evidence from credible engineering and technical sources, that this was the wrong way to go. If you ask any expert who's not a manufacturer of a voting system what we should do for voting that makes it as hacker-proof as possible and auditable, that's the key. Now, when they use the word auditable, that's a trick word. Specifically, they're talking about risk-limiting audits. Let's talk about that. That, as opposed to auditing the source code, which, by the way, they're reluctant to let us do for some weird reason. In addition to this, 24 scientists that are the leading experts in information security, voting technology, and computer science, invited the SAFE Commission, strongly recommending they do not use ballot marking devices, that they use paper-based ballots. They ignored it. The SAFE Commission publishes its final report, specifies the technical and legal requirements for the new voting system, recommends a BMD voting system, ballot marking device. I understand people at home may not be able to read some of these slides. Pardon me for reading them verbatim sometimes. In the appendix included is the City of Conyers pilot project report, Dr. Wernicke's reports that he published, and a dissenting report submitted by the SAFE Commission members, and it lists the members there. If you go and get the appendix, you can read that. I read all this stuff, I had to analyze it. I don't know that any of you really have an interest, but if you do, it's going to make your blood boil. So make sure you have some scotch or a couple of beers with you.
Stressful.
Okay.
Well, drink after you've read it, because you'll need to.
Yeah. February 14, 2019. HB 316 is introduced. The elections definitions provided for uniform equipment and ballot marking devices. This is the bill saying this is what we're going to do. We're going to go from DREs to ballot marking devices, and they're using the SAFE Commission specifications to do it. There are a lot of people that joined the, I'm a member of EFGA, there are a lot of people who joined the battle, Voter Georgia, Coalition for Good Governance, Electronic Frontier Foundation, thank you. And there are so many others from other states who came out of nowhere to lend assistance and articles and all kinds of things. I really appreciate their help. I didn't record them and don't know many of them, didn't even get to talk to some of them, so I can't remember their names. I'm sorry.
Did you get a connection into Fair Fight?
Say again?
Verify. Stacy Abrams Group.
I'm hard of hearing, so.
Stacy Abrams Group, Verify.
Verify.
Yeah, Verify.
Yes, I've heard of that. I've not.
I can do that.
Oh, okay. Now, 2019, April 2019, the governor signs it into law, and it immediately becomes effective. July 2019, they issue a $106 to $107 million, there was some disagreement in the papers as to the amount, contract to Dominion Systems. Dominion didn't actually meet the specifications as well as ENS Systems, but they were just so amazingly much cheaper. They went with them. So congratulations, you got somebody who didn't meet all the requirements, as well as another vendor, and it's by the lowest bidder. Don't you feel safe now? Okay.
We're the government, we're here to help.
Yeah, now, to what TJ and Hill said earlier, in August of this year, 15th, Amy Totenberg, United States District Judge, ruled that Georgia cannot use DREs in the next election, which means they have to have the new system in place for the March presidential primaries
which
next
was
year.
Which moved to the 23rd. We're not in Super Tuesday anymore.
Well, in any case, there is serious doubt. In fact, there was doubt they can even have it in place for the presidential election, let alone the primaries. Okay, now here's the thing about risk limiting audit. This is the Jedi mind trick that they're trying to pull on you. The key point is this: voter verified does not equal opportunity for voter to verify. Those are two different things. They're not equal. Philip Stark, you can see his credentials here, University of California, he is considered by many to be like the godfather of risk limiting audit as applies to elections. He's a leading expert in that field. He has a paper he writes that gives the layman's introduction to how this works. And he says, a risk-limiting audit is a method to ensure that at the end of the canvas, the hardware, software, and procedures used to tally votes found the real winners. Risk-limiting audits do not guarantee the electoral outcome is right, but they have a large chance of correcting the outcome if it is wrong. They involve manually examining portions of an audit trail of generally paper records that voters have opportunity to verify recorded their selections accurately. Computer software cannot be guaranteed to be perfect or secure, so voting systems should be software independent. That means you can't trust the printer. Risk-limiting audits involve manually interpreting the votes in portions of the audit trail. The best audit trail is voter-marked paper ballots. Voter-verifiable paper ballots, VMDs, printed by voting machines are not as good. Voters might not actually inspect them. Gee, what did the Georgia Tech study say? That half of them couldn't do it even when they tried, and most of them spend 19 seconds if they were asked.
You can't fix stupid.
Yeah. So, but if you're filling a bubble form out by yourself, you can. Now, one of the arguments, by the way, against bubble forms is this. It takes too long. Wait a minute. Secure, valid, non-judgmental elections versus it takes too long.
Verify.
Yeah, we should always go with convenience.
That's why they give you 2 months.
Yeah. Voters might not actually inspect the printouts. Printers can jam or run out of paper, can be fragile, yeah, they're thermal paper, and cumbersome to audit. Risk-limiting audits guarantee that if the vote tabulation system found the wrong winner, there is a large chance of a full hand recount to correct the results. Providing this guarantee requires a voting system that produces a voter-verifiable paper record and audit trail, and requires the local election official to ensure the audit trail remains complete and accurate. Except the paper ballot is not the vote of record. It doesn't count. I have a minor problem there. You notice they didn't mention
that. Okay, go back one second.
There you go. How's that? Okay. What is the mind trick they're planning to pull on us? The Safe Commission would have us believe that voter-verified ballots equal an opportunity to verify a ballot. A risk-limiting audit is valid for ballot summaries that the voter does not and cannot verify when given the chance. A risk-limiting audit can only work if all voters correctly audit their ballot. The Georgia Tech study clearly demonstrates that under the best conditions, voters do not verify their ballots, and when given the chance and when tested, they are not capable of verifying their ballots. The Safe Commission's assertion that a ballot marking device that gives a voter the opportunity to verify their ballot is still risk-limiting auditing. I'm sorry, I took math. No, it's not. It is an attempt at a Jedi mind trick, but I'm sorry, I'm disparaging the Jedi. It's probably a Sith Lord.
Right.
I had to throw something in there for drag. There you go. So I'm sure that's going to generate like a mountain of questions and comments from my other panel members. Or not.
I'll be honest, that was very thorough. I don't have a lot to add to that, except you apologized at the beginning, and I want to say thank you so much for your work, and thank you to the work that EF Georgia has been doing.
And with that said, please volunteer. There's information. You can talk to Scott. He's the head. And there's a sign-up sheet right over there. And there's a banner over there. Both times I've had to do battle SB 315. That had nothing to do with voting.
Right.
Well, yeah, it did, but not this problem. Mm-hmm. And HB 316, I was very ill. The first one, I was in chemo. So I'm talking to people at the state capitol on the phone in the middle of chemotherapy. And all the other patients were not happy because you're not supposed to use your phone. And the second one, 316, I was very, very ill at the time, and I had to work overtime to get it done. So if I could get some help, mm-hmm. that would be cool.
Okay. I was there at the Sendai Emergency Bill 2018.
Yeah, but thank you for reminding me.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the tricks they pulled. They tried to push this legislation as fast as possible through
on the last
legislature
day.
So we could not fight it. We had people working day and night. We had so many phone calls up in the wee hours talking
about
this.
Women in the halls, they put it out to women in the halls. We were there as citizens, ACLU was there. We show up and show out. If you want reports from the field, that's what I can add to your thing, because I've been down there since 2011.
Well, thank
you. I got
you.
Journals and everything. Stacey Abrams, I was there. We got to talk.
Oh, cool.
So we do have the fun little box.
Yeah, make sure
you ask questions. You got to talk into the box, because if you don't, we can't. Well, but I think we got you.
Actually, oh, yeah. If you're talking to the box,
you're close enough. I think
recorded.
Our mics might pick you up.
Yeah.
But the problem is you can't pick up the audience.
I don't care about
video.
The audience.
So
people think we're talking to imaginary people
right.
if you don't talk into
so,
the box.
So if you do have questions, raise your hand and we'll throw you the box. One thing I want to point out on this, though, is not only, I mean, you can theoretically review your ballot. But look what's up top. More barcodes.
Can you read barcode?
So the problem that we have is we don't know what was on the little yellow plastic, you know, chip that went into the voting machine. But I don't really know what's on that either. If my ballot got hacked, yeah, the text might be right, but the barcode that someone's going to use to verify my count might say the exact opposite. And I have no way to verify that. So, you know, the whole thing is just... We've added another layer of fun to hack and be compromised and generally just go down and screw up election day because the printer is broken or we're out of paper or who knows what. So we've added complexity and we haven't added a single bit of security.
Yeah, you know what their best argument was against hand-marked paper ballots? But that's so old school.
Analog is
last I checked, that's not an engineering argument. And not only that, how many people here have taken the SAT? How many of them used a paper bubble form to do it? Wait, they still use that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, so that's the problem, is everybody uses that technology because it's very, very reliable.
Can you turn on the box, please? It's not on yet.
Right.
Okay.
There we go.
I guess kind of two questions. The first one, with the barcodes, I mean, aren't barcodes kind of standard readable by a cell phone, so we could kind of reverse engineer what is being said and essentially have an app that could verify it?
Yes.
Not relying on them?
Yes. In fact, I believe it was Frank Rieta, who is an EFGA member, went there to one of the demos for, I believe, this machine that puts out this output, and was actually, they were talking about how, you know, people, this makes it secure because people can't read the barcode. He pulled out his phone, went blip, you mean like that? And they went, you can't do that. What? Yes, I can. There's this app called a barcode reader, and I can do that. So they actually were under the impression that that was secret and you weren't capable of reading it, and that was a good thing.
But again, in terms of verifiable data, can I? Yes. But we've got, I mean, the majority of people won't and can't figure out the part that's actually written is problematic. Who's going to go to the extra step of scanning the barcode?
And here's the thing. In order to vote in the state of Georgia, a free ID card is too much of a burden.
That's right.
Now you must buy a cell phone.
Right.
So you can scan your barcode. What?
Yeah, my mom's 83.
Yeah.
She's not going to do that.
Right.
And you certainly shouldn't need to have a device like that in order to verify your ballot.
Right. One of the things I'm thinking here is you have a big cardstock punch card.
Yes.
Instead of the bubble in, you got to have the number 2 pencil or whatnot, but if you had a punch card, you could punch that card, review it, and then submit it into the box to be counted.
Yeah, that's what we had hanging chads, if you remember that from the 2000 lecture. That's what pushed everybody into, by the way, thank Michael. That's what pushed everybody into electronic systems was because of the hanging chads. That should be a band name.
Hanging chads.
Yeah, the hanging chads.
And the butterfly
mount. Yeah, butterfly
mount. It was certainly a Halloween costume for a couple years.
Yeah. Was it really?
Oh, yes.
Oh. Wow. Shows you what I know.
But yeah, that actually, as Keith said, that was the big push, right? I mean, we can't use these old paper things anymore, pulling levers and pushing buttons. That's, that's so outdated and low tech. We need a solution. So we gave ourselves a solution that, again, implemented extra complexity and extra problems and didn't increase our security or accuracy in any meaningful way.
And in the immortal words of RoboCop, and there's a support contract for the equipment.
Hey, so I understand your argument for the why you want to do bubble ballots, but I'm not completely sure. Like, there were shenanigans before when we had manual counting where people could, insert extra ballots. Like, what would be able to prevent them from doing that if we went back completely, like, manual?
Ballot count is the argument that's being used. You would know the number of people who came into a precinct. You would have a count of the number of ballots that were being scanned.
Yeah, and that is a legitimate problem of security.
Right.
There's nothing belittling that. The difference is, with a computer hack, I can do that to every precinct with the push of a button.
Okay.
Right.
Otherwise, to do it at a precinct, you have multiple levels of checks and balances at every precinct. I have to put myself at personal risk and get in collusion to do this at a precinct. To do this massively wide, really, really difficult. So the idea is we want to limit what's called our attack surface. The attack surface are all the different ways, social engineering, electronic attacks, physical attacks, all the different types of attacks that can occur on the system. You want to limit that profile. Think of it as being in a gunfight and turning sideways and crouching down so you're a much smaller target. That's the basic idea. So, yes, that system is not perfectly secure. There is no such thing as perfect security. I'm a hacker. I'm the head of DC 404 chapter here in Atlanta. I can tell you that every system can be hacked. But hacked in mass, we can't protect against that.
And independent poll workers, I have a story if anybody wants to know what happened in the last governor's election. I got thrown out as an independent observer. And I was like, you know what, you can throw me out, you're going to send somebody else. ACLU went in.
Oh, excellent. If you didn't hear what she said, she was an independent poll worker. They threw her out and they substituted somebody else in with the ACU. That's the thing is, if you are interested in ensuring that security, you can volunteer as a poll worker or an observer to watch what they're doing. We can hold them accountable. What you cannot do is defend the electronics.
So I've observed ballot counting and polling processes both in the U.S. and in the U.K. the UK is much more low tech, just in terms of like hand marked ballots in extremis, like just mark an X, there's no bubbles or anything. They're a major world democracy. Is there any strong argument being presented for why that system is somehow works for them, but would work for other places to just have
touch screen ballots?
Well, that's the question. What was the title of this talk? Thumb on the Scale? Well, I wanted to avoid getting into conspiracy theory. But there have been quite a number of articles, I purposely did not bring them, that talk about some of the shenanigans that went on behind the scenes. And there's some questions about that. In fact, there's an article that just came out, did I bring it with me? I might have. I'd have to look for it. There's an article that came out where they've, in one of the previous elections with the DRE, they found some massive, massive problems with the vote. Like a precinct that every ballot was completely Democratic only. That just doesn't happen. And so they, and other ones where it's the other side. It's not to pick on one side or the other. The point is they found anomalies that were significant enough that they should look. And basically they said, there is nothing to see here, move along. Do you trust them with this system if you can't trust them with that system? That's my question. We have a system that allows us to audit. Did I mention that every time they mention the word audit, but it's auditable, they're mentioning that without saying risk-limited audit. Mm-hmm. Risk-limited audit is a mathematical process that requires precise and specific types of input. That is not valid input to that process. Period. Therefore, you cannot risk limit audit it. So every time you hear them say, but it's auditable, you better be thinking a Sith Lord is pulling a Jedi mind trick on me and ignore them.
But all of that is 100% correct. But the problem is broader than Georgia. We have people here who are obviously engaged in shenanigans. At the same time, these types of machines are ubiquitous. We like shiny, fancy, flashy new things in America. And we all thought, you know, at the legislative level, that electronic ballots were going to be easier and faster, and we wouldn't have the ways and counts, and we wouldn't have to deal with hanging chads, and we wouldn't have to,
and
so we'll get people in and out. And so it seemed like a fun, new, high-tech solution that we could implement around the country. Is it better than, you know, a piece of paper where I mark an X and I hand it to you and you read it and make a little tally vote? No. But it's a lot faster, and it's a lot shinier, and it's a lot spiffier, and so I think that's primarily the answer.
Yeah, and I will say, unfortunately, you know, I mean, there are 33 states that require sort of post-election audits, but often they're not. You know, they don't have the baseline standards. They're not rigorous enough to really validate results. So even when people say, okay, we're going to have audits, like, you know, like you were saying, they don't specify what kind of audits. They don't specify what that should go through. So it's a big
problem. Yeah, in the talk, I don't think I had it in there, but I had it in my notes. There, I actually went through and looked at how many times they referred to the word audit or risk limiting audit. In the bill, they talk audit 8 times. In the appendix to the SAFE Commission, not the bill, in the report from the SAFE Commission, they mention it 8 times. In the appendix, it's a staggering number of times they mention it. A bunch of those with the word risk limiting audit. I think most of those post about risk limiting audit, unfortunately, were by Winky Lee. So he's using it correctly, they're not. Oh, there's one thing I needed to touch on before I forget it. There are 2 major objections you're going to hear come up. One is that this disenfranchises handicapped people.
Yes.
That the electronic system does things, and I understand why they're doing this. They do things like make the screen bigger so they can read it. Or if it's for somebody whose sight and, is blind, they can put on a headset, it'll do a screen read for them. There's all kinds of stuff they can do. They can translate instantly into another language if necessary. There's all kinds of things they can do that this enables certain spectrums of the population. What they want to do is for this small group of people. Now, I'm one of those people. Notice the chair. For this small group of people, they want to put at risk the entire election. I think, and this is what the recommendation was, sure, have a machine like this for those people who have this problem. That's a good thing to do. But don't risk the entire thing for the few. The other one was, they'll say, but the bubble ballots, what if you vote wrong, you vote twice for president? What if you miss voting for dog catcher? What if there's a stray mark and I can't read it? Well, then your ballot's invalid. You all know how the process works? You get your bubble ballot, they run it through a scanner, it immediately says, oh, there's an overvote, there's an undervote, there's a stray mark. They go, would you like to redo your ballot? Yes, they tear it up, you do another one. So before you actually submit it, it verifies that there's any of those errors. Okay? So we can have technology help us with that. Now, mind you, there are attack surfaces on every one of these things. There is no perfect system. So when they go, yeah, but I can hack that. Yes, but I can hack that too. In fact, I can hack that a lot easier. So don't let this Jedi mind trick work on you. Okay?
It was like a week or so, a couple weeks ago, I saw the Microsoft release an open source voting safeguard package. I just saw the headline, didn't get too much into it. I wonder if you guys had seen any of that or...
Yes. I saw the post that they came out and released open source their voting software. I did not actually have time to look at that and download it and tear it apart and see what they were doing. I'm not sure that I would unless they decided to actually try to deploy a system with it. There are several movements for open source voting software that we can actually audit, we can have multiple eyes on it, that are not sequestered behind, you know, proprietary trademark type stuff so we can't see it.
I'm a little confused. Is this set in stone now for Georgia, or is this being fought?
Well, yeah, the bill to implement this has passed, and as soon as March 2020, Georgia will be the only state, probably the only place ever, who is using ballot marking devices exclusively in every precinct. So this is what we're going to, and that's what we will have. Yes, right. That's what we will have by March 2020. If that happens, Judge Totenberg was very clear in her order that she was strongly concerned that they'd have the ability to do that, but the court order is to do exactly that.
Yeah, the elections last fall, Judge Totenberg, there was a lawsuit brought before her, and she ruled that by all rights, this DRE system we were currently using, that this one's replacing, this system is replacing, was unconstitutional. But it was so close to the election that it wouldn't be possible to deploy a paper-based system in time for last fall's election. So she flat put them on notice right then and there. This system is illegal. She actually called them out for it, rather straightforward. Called them out for being negligent in what they were doing, and this was despicable, and said, we're going to do something about this. Well, they did. They came out and they ruled against it. It's now illegal. They ruled it unconstitutional. It's done. So that's the DRE system. And as a result, this must be in place by March 2020. They don't think they can do it. They didn't think they could do it by the elections, the presidential elections, let alone March 2020.
Okay, so if this is going to be in place, and I go and I get this, and I look and say, oh, something's wrong.
Right.
Then what?
You tell the poll worker and you can redo it.
Then I go back and
yeah, just as if it was a bubble thing and there was a problem with it.
Okay.
You would go back and redo it. But okay. The problem is, can you read barcode?
No.
Assuming they put the barcode on there, what if they don't include the barcode? The machine can't read the paper. We don't have, this is thermal paper. There's no way for a machine to read this. There is OCR, but how many of you have ever done OCR? How many errors did it find? Okay. And on thermal paper, have you ever tried to do OCR on a Kroger receipt? And that's printed on, that is thermal paper. Never mind. Even on regular paper, the printer quality of the printout from the printer in a register, which this is essentially what it is, like a cash register, is not sharp enough for an OCR system to accurately count. So this, by law, is not the vote of record. We tried to force them to make this the vote of record. That didn't work. We fought this. I mean, we we bloodied our knuckles on this one.
Okay, Georgia Tech grad, class of 83, I'm older than Microsoft, worked in telecom, long distance analog cell phones into digital, retired, early retired from Nextel in 2006 as a player. My deal is fairness. I've never joined a party. I'm an independent GDI, goddamn. I've been involved in the street, and I'm just going to tell you guys that I was at Brian Kemp's inauguration. I'm the only alumni that shows up at Young DSA meetings. Georgia Tech used to be Jackets for Bernie. Georgia State, the Young DSA used to be Panthers for Bernie. Emory's opened up a group. We're starting one in Athens. The MATSAs, Occupy people, have been effective. If you want to know what's going on, you want to plug into the reality, go to nobodysabovethelaw.org, put in your zip code, put in your phone number. You will get an alert 24 hours in advance of any protest that's kicking off. So move on, ACLU. It's everybody getting together that wants things to be fair and level. Nobody's above the law. .org. It's simple. All of our orgs, all of our URLs are simple. That's the easiest thing you can do. Okay? Even if you don't show up, run, tell it to your friends. You look like a rock star. They ask you how do you know. You tell them, they tell you about I have to kill you. Okay? Every group needs a leader, a healer, a communicator, and at least one general. There's passive resistance. There's all kinds of information out there. I'm forming a group. It's my own private collective. I need to dump this because I have a rare, I'm just saying this, announcement.
We just have other questions.
I understand. Okay. I'm just saying I have a rare genetic, degenerative neurological condition. I'm doing a brain dump, going to Young DSA, Georgia Tech at 6 o'clock. I'm going to join this group. I'm going to bring my black girl magic to you. Okay? If anybody in this group is interested, sign up there. You'll get it. I'm going to shut up now.
By the way, next question. Sorry, I just wanted to read the math.
We got to go.
Getting over is not persistence.
Georgia is not the only state using the system. This is pretty much what everybody's going to. So if you're not from Georgia, you've got this too.
Right.
And it's really critically important that, you know, you step up at the state level. There are some federal bills that are, you know, trying to do, you know, paper ballots, risk limiting audits, but we all know how Congress is. They are moving very quickly, despite the fact that election security should be top of mind for everybody right now. And so state activism is critically important at this point.
We are all, there's also a movement. There is a national organization that of state's attorney generals, or there is a group that is trying to push for a standard, a recommended standard, how to vote. NIST has one, but it doesn't say specifically what technology it is. We're hoping to change those standards so that the federal government, by the way, cannot mandate how a state does it, but they can sure make them look stupid for the way they do it. That's what we're trying to work on now.
I missed the part of the beginning of this, but if this isn't the vote of record, what is?
The electronic ballot that you can. So you're still going to cast your ballot in the same sort of machine we showed you first, the touch screen electronic machine. The only difference is now, before we would go to the ballot in Georgia, you would get a little yellow chip from the poll workers. You would take it over to the voting machine, insert the little yellow chip, use the touch screen to select all of your votes, and then you'd take your chip and give it to the poll worker. Now you'll do the same process, but instead of a little yellow chip, you'll go and use a touch screen. It'll print out your receipt, and you take your voter receipt to the poll worker. But the machine itself is still going to be the same machine, basically, and you're going to do the same process. So we didn't fix anything about the voting system as it exists. We just added another thing you could hack or break.
Yeah, you hand them, instead of you use this machine, you create the current DRE system, you get a plastic card, You give the plastic card to them. Now, and they're going to record it in the machine, no plastic card, and you give them a paper ballot that is not the record, it's what's recorded in the machine. So, remember what I said about a Jedi mind trick?
Yeah. But
now you see.
You did get to review it on the screen.
You get to review it on the, well, you get to review it on the screen.
You can review it on the screen, you can review the paper, but how do you know that's what actually voted?
That's right.
That's the question.
Right.
That's right, exactly.
Oh, wrong ballot.
Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, if people are hacking that machinery, your receipt may be right, your vote may be wrong. We don't know what the barcode says. You don't even know if the barcode matches with the machine recorded.
Yeah.
We don't know if someone hacked in and changed everybody's ballots after we all voted, turned in our receipts, and went home. The cybersecurity issues are still there.
Yes.
Because we're still using really, really vulnerable technology.
And that, and here's the thing. Let's assume we discovered after doing an election, we used hand-marked paper ballots. They collected them all. And we discovered not only did they hack the scanners, they hacked the scanners, what they took, the totals out of the scanners, the machine it gave that to, they hacked that. And they hacked the system that counted everything at the state level. Okay, we have the paper, we'll get more scanners, we'll scan them, we'll get the vote. That's the point of the being a auditable.
Yes.
If that happened with this system, oh well. Now, I did not mention this in my bio, but I was U.S. Navy. I did cryptography, signals, and terms intelligence, and special operations. I do not actually have to hack your system. I can, using social media bots, which we talked about in two other panels besides this one, I can use social media bots to make you think I hacked the system. If I can get enough people to believe something funky's gone on, they won't trust whatever the system tells them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way for you to prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've just handed a loaded gun, or more of an armed nuclear weapon,
right,
to another government, Russia, who we already know has weapons like this and has used them and is continuing to use them. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
But that said, go vote anyway.
Exactly. I was
going to
say,
go vote.
Still vote.
Anyway.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you because that's my act of defiance. At the Russians. So I'm going to go vote anyway.
Just a 2 points about these. You'll read that with your cell phone if you wanted to. You can't. In my county, you pull your cell phone, you scrounge her, and move from the voting, and I'll call you back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. You know why they don't let you take pictures of your ballot?
Because they don't want you to prove what you did.
No, because they don't want you to sell your ballot.
Yep. Proof of.
That's why they have anonymity of the ballot system, is so that it's impossible for you to go outside of here and demonstrate that you voted the way they want to for a bribe. They deliberately decoupled the system so you can't bribe. There's a whole lot of mechanics that we didn't go into about how the voting system is put together with its checks and balances to ensure there's no collusion on anybody's part, including the people doing the voting.
Well, and the other point is, just for Dragon Con, is if a Sith like me was doing this, it wouldn't be my trick. I'd just tell you, you're not a Sith, you don't get the vote.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
We do that in a lot of states, too.
Just take that off.
May the Schwartz be with you.
That would be great.
Looking at the examples of communities where they've overcome these limitations and became successful in having an efficient system that actually happened.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
Are there any examples of communities where they've actually overcome these challenges and have obtained efficient voting machines that actually
Yeah, there are other states that use the bubble ballot system that we're talking about. It's a well-proven technology. It's been well-tested and proven effective in other states. But that's our question, and that's the question. When you look at all this evidence, when you look at the preponderance of the evidence, it kind of implies there's forces outside of the idea of actually getting a system that creates a valid vote at play here. Now, I have no idea what they are. I don't want to venture into conspiracy theory, but I look at this and I'm like, every security expert on the planet basically told them, hey, that's a really stupid idea. And they said, yeah, right on. Hey, hold my beer, buddy. And they went for it anyway. course, we are in Georgia, so that's kind of expected.
Hold them out
but,
there.
You know.
I'm from Minnesota. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I must admit a little bit of bias. Being on submarines and the way we were trained, you become acutely aware of the fact that absolutely everything in your environment is trying to kill you.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're not out to get
yeah. you. Yeah. Not only is the ocean trying to kill us, right? All the technology around us is lethal. By many orders of magnitude, and wherever we're operating, if they catch us, they will shoot us. So we become acutely aware of one very simple thing. If you get stupid, you get dead. But you also take the rest of us with you. Thank you very much. So we are absolutely adamant in making sure everybody is qualified. We cut nobody any slack. The Georgia General Assembly has basically killed all of us, and it really tease me off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my bias. So if I sound a little biased, a little emotional, I am.
Yeah. But your motives.
So should you be.
Your motives would be good.
So say we all.
Yeah.
I may be a geek, but I ain't a sci-fi fan.
Okay, somebody over
on
this side had a question. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
Speak up.
Once.
Okay, anybody else?
Okay,
I've
okay, you do.
Cool.
I'm going twice. So.
Here we go.
Thank you. All right. I'm sorry. I just didn't understand this. The old way, I put the card in, I press everything, I take my card out, and I hand them the card. So if somebody comes along and says, the machine's got hacked, they can always just reread the card, right?
Nope, they erase the card
erase
and give it
card?
To the next voter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's kind of the same, because I'm thinking the new way, it's going to spit out that little receipt. Do I give that receipt to them?
Yes.
And then that receipt is made on, like, Kroger paper, so
yeah.
so the first time it gets hot, in like an hour or a week, it's all going to go invisible, right?
Yep.
That's
so
how they get you.
It's like spending a lot of money. It's like spending a lot of money for this paper, and then it's absolutely useless in all respects, isn't it?
Yes, and we did point that out to him.
All for show.
A lot. We would talk to absolutely anybody in the hallways would stop and talk to us at the Capitol building.
Gotcha. All right, thank you.
So it makes you begin to wonder if there's a thumb on the scale, which is the point of the whole talk.
Right, I mean, sadly, you understand it perfectly. You're not missing a step. This is just dumb.
Yep.
You got it. You've been.
If the logic doesn't track for you, there's a reason.
Yeah.
Don't fear the KKK. Fear the CCC, which are pulling the strings. Concerned citizen councils. They wear the suits. They talk the game. They're setting you up. My grandpa taught me that.
Okay. Any more questions?
Is there time?
We've got time for probably one more question.
Yeah.
Is there somebody? Okay.
Here we go.
Well,
I think it is meant to be.
So I'm in risk management and information.
Hold the mic up. So
okay.
Yeah.
So I'm in risk management and information security, and I'm starting to realize the Luddites are really the ones that have the really great ideas. I kind of wish we could go back to, you know, when they would just lose the trucks with our votes. So, did y'all think about recommending that? You know, that we have to have a report that we just lose the warehouse. So it might actually be better.
So, well, this is the thing. As an engineer and a hacker, I can look at the system and come up with safeguards. The idea is there's no perfect system. You have what's called defense in depth. I put in so many tripwires you can't get through and cause the effect you want, at least at mass scale, without tripping an alarm. That can be built. That's doable. When in talking electronics like this, not possible.
All right, I actually have one. Since we know the front-end systems are a complete cluster at this point, what do you think about the back-end systems that actually do vote tabulation and reporting results?
More, bigger, better attack surface.
What did you say? Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
What about the back-end systems that are tabulating results?
It just means I have more things to shoot at. See, that's the thing, is if I corrupt one of those systems or corrupt them in mass, which you can do electronically, that's where the issue comes in. If I have and I can revert back to a paper record, I can simply get new equipment and recount the vote. I can have the equipment brought in, audited, secured, offline, and recount the vote. This, you're done. And I don't even actually have to do it. Like I said, I just got to make you believe it might have happened. That's all I got to do.
And I'll say it again until I'm blue in the face, but this exact conversation that we're having is exactly why it's so important to have technologists who can explain these things in simple terms to legislators over and over and over again to keep up the fight.
Yeah, and that's why we were so frustrated, because we had people there who did just that multiple times from every angle you can imagine, and it was like talking to this soda bottle.
Bubba. All right, you guys, 3 minutes. Anybody else?
Any last questions, rants?
Well, while we're moving the box, I'll give my one rant, because I do want to make sure that you guys do not take away from this that we don't want you to vote. Your point is exactly right.
Yes.
Do go vote. You anybody who's heard me at any other panel knows that I say this every panel all the time. But the way you fix these issues, usually, is by talking to your representatives, talking to your congressmen, talking to your councilpeople, letting your voice be heard, and then making it heard in the important way, which is at the ballot box. I say usually because, of course, this time everybody did tell them what they should have done.
But I will say, you know, you got articles out of it. You have a whole body of work that you can point to. You can say, look at all these people we've built. You can keep building on that consensus. Like, every bit of work you did was worth
something. Yeah, the fight hasn't ended.
Yeah.
That lawsuit that came out that banned the DREs, mm-hmm. That was the culmination of years of work. Mm-hmm. People are still fighting this at every opportunity.
And just to be clear, there's already been statements that the next lawsuit is coming. They're going to sue against these as soon as they're implemented.
Yeah. There's all kinds of lawsuits.
So, yeah. Now, I would like to remind you to rate us on the DEF CON app, okay?
And
there's a sign up over there for EFGA. If you have questions about EFGA, you can just
go. Yeah, Dragon.
Freudian slip, okay?
We're right here first.
Although Freudian was a really sick dude, man. That guy was weird. Okay. But I digress. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming, and have a happy Dragon.